So today we are going to have the second in our sermon series on health as we begin the new year. And today we are going to share about physical health. And Darlene Spurlock and Paul Salbert both have something for us to hear today.
Good morning, everybody. And I'm going to start with reading the scripture, the second scripture, and it's also on the back of your bulletin. It's 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So, good morning again, and I reiterate what Paul and Janet said. I personally welcome you to Wesley this morning. Our whole congregation welcomes you to the service. And we believe here at Wesley that everyone who enters through those doors back there is God's guest. And we are pleased that you have chosen us today for worship. So you remember last Sunday, Pastor Janet started her January sermon series, Your Spiritual Health. Well, today I'm going to continue that with your physical health. And Janet had asked me to witness to you this morning about my personal journey with this very topic. So I thought that I would open my witness statement with some of my old diet tips. And by coincidence, when I was doing research on this, I came across the very same diet tips in Miss Piggy's Guide to Life. So I'm going to start off. There's 10 of them. So you think about these and see how many of them are yours also. Number one, if no one sees you eat, then it has no calories. Number two, if you drink a diet soda with a candy bar, they'll cancel each other out. Number three, calories don't count if you eat with someone else and you both eat the same amount. Right, Diane? Yeah. Number four, food taken for medicinal purposes does not count at all. This includes toast, hot chocolate, and Sara Lee chocolate cake. Number five, if you fatten up everyone else around you, you'll look thinner. And number six, snacks consumed at the movies do not count, as they are part of the entertainment. For example, Milk Duds, popcorn soaked in butter, red licorice, and M&Ms. Number seven, pieces of cookies contain no calories. The process of the breakage causes a calorie leakage. Number eight, late night snacks have no calories because the refrigerator light is not strong enough for the calorie to see their way into the calorie counter. And number nine, and my personal favorite, is the last one, is never eat more than you can lift. So seriously now, a show of hands of who has more than once used one of these diet tips in your own life. Thank you. Now, all joking aside, we do tend to make honest-to-goodness, good, well-thought-out excuses to eat something that we know we should not eat, don't we? So guess who we're hurting when we're making those bad choices? Us. Who knows what the most frequent New Year's resolution is? Lose weight, get healthy. How long does it usually last? By the end of January? Maybe. Well, this morning I chose this scripture reading to shape my witness story around because I discovered in the past 5 months that this scripture really should be the mantra of anyone trying to get healthy, to lose weight and get healthy, to stop an addiction, to basically get your body healthy. Around the beginning of last year, I found myself not feeling really well. I really didn't know how poorly I felt until I started feeling better. And I was feeling well not feeling well most of the time. I had no energy. I had weight gain. I was lethargic. I was sleeping too much when I should be awake. And I was awake too much when I should be sleeping. My diet was terrible. I had headaches, body aches, numbness of these three fingers and toes. And in May, when Diane Nays and I did our annual Avon walk, I thought I was going to die. It took my feet almost 3 months to completely heal after that walk. I was a mess. I was beginning to realize that I was a mess. I was not, definitely not, treating my body, which houses the Holy Spirit, as a temple. It was more like trapping the Holy Spirit in a dumpster. I had my annual routine physical in August, and although I now can recognize that I was not physically well at the time, I did not recognize it that day. My doctor asked me, as most doctors do during a physical, "Do you have any concerns and complaints?" "No, of course I don't. I'm healthy. I just did the Avon walk, you know. I feel great, except I have three fingers that are tingly on my left hand, and my feet really hadn't healed from 3 months or in May." So she was really concerned about the tingling and my feet, but not so much to discuss what it may be. It was finished the physical, and she did a blood panel on me, which she doesn't usually do. So she sent me on my way that day with a trip to the lab first, and I got a blood panel done just because. A few days later, I received a phone call from the clinic, and the nurse told me that my A1C level was 6.7. What the heck is an A1C level? Mackenzie knows. I asked her exactly that question. What the heck is an A1C level? And she replied, "You're diabetic." The A1C test measures the average blood glucose control for the past 2 to 3 months, not just for that particular day. It's determined by measuring the percentage of glycated hemoglobin, or HbA1c, in the blood. And mine was too high. That instant, that very moment, was the huge wake-up call that I needed to start renovating my temple. All sorts of things popped into my mind. The first one was my grandmother talking very hush-hush when I was about 6 years old about my aunt who was diagnosed with the sugars. It didn't sound good. My daughter, Laura, who is an RN, of all the diseases and things that she had come across as a nurse, I only recall her ever mentioning that she hoped she never got diabetes. It stuck in my head. And, of course, my special sweet hero, Mackenzie Clark, she had this same news when she was barely 4 years old. And unlike me, who probably caused my pancreas to wear out, she had no choice. So she truly is a hero in my eyes for the diet and the lifestyle change that you have to do. Mackenzie, she's my mentor, too, during this process. My temple... My body was not being treated as a temple for the Lord, and things had to change, a lot of things. So true strength begins with knowledge. I had to get smarter about my temple and renovating it. All we are comes as a result of our relationship with Christ. Our relationship with Christ yields spiritual fruit: kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, humility, authenticity, and self-control. These gifts strengthen our hearts. They enable us to do God's work. The strength that Jesus gives us in these gifts makes us supple and unbreakable, not brittle or unyielding. I needed some self-control. I wanted to be supple and unbreakable. I changed everything about my eating and exercising habits. I changed my lifestyle. I researched diabetes extensively. I decided that diet was not the thing I needed. It was a whole lot more than that. I needed to think differently in my brain and change my whole life. This is what I'd like to share with you. We all know the good foods to eat. I don't have to stand up here and tell you what. Here's the good foods, here are the bad foods. Everybody knows good and bad foods. Everything that you put in your mouth affects your well-being. Eat the foods that God created for you. Don't let any food or drink or drug become your God. Think about what you eat. Think about how much you eat and how often you eat it. We are what we eat. To be fit and healthy, we need to eat good food. If you eat junk food, you'll have a junk body. Just as living a healthy spiritual life includes a diet of nutrition, living a healthy physical life also includes a diet of nutrition. We need to exercise, whether it's a daily walk to and from the mailbox, many times a day. Just move. Try belly dancing. For me, within 2 weeks of my new lifestyle change, I was feeling better. I was sleeping better, and I was sleeping far less. The good way. A month later, I was feeling great. 3 months later, and 22 and a half pounds lighter, my second A1C at my doctor's appointment was 5.6. Technically now, I'm pre-diabetic. I was truly renovating my temple. I saw results. I felt results. I'm almost 4 months into my renovations today. I am now 28 pounds lighter and healthier. And I'm hoping in March, my next appointment, that my doctor will listen to me and take me off my diabetic medicines. I am a work in progress. I don't have it figured out. I doubt if I ever will. But I do know that I now am on the right path. Will there be times that I wander back into that dumpster? Most definitely. But I will never stay there again. I am better now than I was 4 months ago. I am better now to serve God. My temple is stronger, healthier, happier, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'll end with this question for you to ponder this week. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? And now, for the rest of the story, I'm turning the pulpit over to Dr. Salbert.
Thank you, Darlene. We can all be really proud and excited for our Darlene. We've known her a good long time, and it's just delightful to hear her testimony. So I remain Paul Salbert, and yes, I am a doctor. I practice in Fairfax County, and I've been there now working on 23 years. Kind of amazing, you know, as I sit there and think of all that. I've had just a really blessed life doing that, and it's a privilege to be able to serve others. And so let me share a little bit of some of these things that struck me today. You know, recently we've had medical journals, and they've reported some remarkable information, and they've come out and they've coined some new information. You may have heard that, and they call that the metabolic syndrome. And they have actually been able to figure out that if you eat too much and you don't work out enough, that you'll actually gain weight. And that through that, your blood pressure will go up, your sugar will go up, you'll have heart disease. It's just absolutely amazing. You know, I'm glad that after all that research, they were able to come up with that. But they basically wanted to frame things and try to show the relationship of all these things together and how they could have a negative effect on our life. And that's just been recently reported in literature. But then again, I also recall that a few years back that they found out that if you actually go out and you gather up a bunch of leaves and if you set them on fire and put them in your mouth and breathe on them, that it actually is bad for your health. They were so concerned with this. People really had no understanding, couldn't even comprehend that, that they actually went and they had the federal government talk with the Surgeon General, and they printed it on the side of cigarette packages to make sure that we are aware of that. They went through, you know, and then they had millions of dollars that were spent on lawsuits and everything, but in order to try to help and make sure that we were healthy, they made sure they wrote that on there so we wouldn't fall into such behavior. But now, yet again, I remember that even thousands of years ago, God warned us of these things too. He personally told us, and even he wrote that down as well in the scriptures that we have before us today. and that our bodies were to house the Spirit of God, and that they should be cared for and respected because they house the Spirit of God. And that he then went and he put us in charge of those things so that we would be able to take care of that. And by doing that, he also intended, though, that he remain Lord over it all. So we were given that kind of commission. We were put there. I remember there was Adam and Eve, and they were given everything and were placed into the Garden of Eden. And they had everything provided for them, all the food, all the water, all the things that they could have, a bounty of everything. And then God entrusted them to do that. And it was like, what, like a day? Right? It wasn't long at all. When you read back in Genesis, they talk about how, you know, then God left them to take care of that. And then kind of the evil crept in, and we know the rest of the story. We basically got shut out of the Garden of Eden, and then here we are today trying to go ahead and creep ourselves back in there and to find our way. So we look at that over time, you know, and we've seen in Scripture different things where people have looked at their health and how they've actually been able to be successful with that. And we remember stories like in there where we had like blind people and they needed to have their sight restored because that kind of gave them difficulty. We had people that couldn't walk and lepers, so we had people cured and everything, and they went and they did that. And we found out that throughout all of those stories, God always looked back at them and said, it was your faith that made you well. And so through their witness of their faith, God came through and helped to grant them some of that improved health. We see that through those stories, it was always basically, though, the idea of being able to gain that greater life with God. Because those people, of course, they were able to walk, they were able to do that. We were able to see Lazarus, and of course, then again, he passed away. But what God spoke of them is that they got eternal life through their faith in him. So when we look at it, we look at different ways. So, well, how do we go through then and help to maintain some of our better health? And so we can look at some things that go on and just some things to keep in perspective. It's important, I think, if we look at like medications and everything, is to also look at them as not being too powerful. Look at those always as just being adjunctive or tools that we use that we can pull out of that toolbox of life in order to try to help us to get better. We can look at some things too, like that food is more seen as like a fuel that just happens to taste good. You know, we've got that ability to go through and then have the taste buds ahead of it, but instead of picking off our foods and everything as a result of what they taste like, we want to consider them, what's their nutritional value as well, so we can have that. And that can help us to feel better too. I'm always kind of concerned when we sit there and you look over the table and you want to go and give your dog some of the leftovers. And then people talk to you and say, oh, don't give that to the dog. It won't make him sick. And, you know, you're kind of worried that those are the foods we've been eating. But they're not good for the dog. But you can enjoy them if you like. So a lot of times in life, some things are already before us, right? We don't have to worry about how much the literature is written and all the research all the people do, that God really set that out for us. And he said, hey, if you guys basically take care of that temple, I provided these things for you, I will help you as you go through that road and we can be healthy together. And through that, you can have that better life. Because, you know, frankly, we've got to have our strength, not only for us, but our family and those people around us, so we can go through and represent him to others in the world, because that's frankly why we're here, because we messed up that Garden of Eden thing. Anyways, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to speak before you, and may God bless you.
So we know that because Jesus was sent into the world in human form, that the human form matters to God. We understand that through resurrection of the body, our material lives matter to God. Our physical lives matter to God. And God, of all the gifts gave us water so that we might understand his grace, water that is used to nurture and sustain us, water that delivers us in our physical birth, but also through our life of faith, the waters of God's grace that deliver us over and over and over again into further and closer relationship with him, just as God delivered the Israelites. Well, we can start back to Noah, just as God delivered Noah through the waters and made a promise and delivered the Israelites through the waters so that they would have life. God struck a rock and water sprang forth so that the people would not perish from thirst. And we also appreciate the physical nature of water that represents all of our lives in God. Now, this baptismal font is a fun place to be. We use it once. We use it when you're an infant, most of us. Some of us are baptized later in our lives, but we have this very, very minor memory of our baptism. And so every year it's a wonderful thing in the church on the day in which we remember Jesus' baptism to also remember our own. And again, this is a place to play. Once we are born and delivered into the waters of God's grace, all the goodness and mercy that comes as we grow physically and spiritually and through our relationships, as we grow intellectually and emotionally, God is pouring out grace upon all of that. And so today I would like for us to have a few moments. There are some shells. These are this shell, scallop shell shape, is the shape that symbolizes our baptism. And you may take a shell and you may sprinkle water over your hands or your face or however you want, or you can just dip your hands in the water and go forth. But I invite you at this time, come forth and remember your baptism.